Hi, my name is Sarah Wage and I graduated from Warwick with the early childhood degree qualification in 2003. I, like everybody else really, seem to have thoroughly enjoyed. I did mine over 4 years as a 2+2 student. On the first 3 months, excruciatingly painful. I've never read material like I was being asked to read for sociology, and I just had to grit my teeth and decide I was going to stick it till Christmas and take it from there. When I left, no previous students had graduated with this degree. I was the first cohort, and careers information was quite limited. I went to job fairs, and everybody seemed to be looking for bankers or for accountants, and nobody seemed to be looking for anybody with an early childhood studies degree. So I agreed to come and talk this evening because I know that a big part of my degree I spent worrying about what my degree would fit me for and what jobs there were going to be that wanted that kind of qualification. I left school at 16 with some okay GCSEs, or O-levels as they were at the time. Nobody suggested I'd stay on and do A-levels. There was nothing, no talk of that at all. So I left and went into a job debt collector, and I did that for almost 20 years. Stayed with the same company. Did an evening course, an extra GCSE, and decided I loved it so much. I went along, just the same as I think you did, went along to go and sign up for another one and came out, phoned my husband and said, I think I've just enrolled for 4 years. Can we manage? And I loved it. I absolutely loved what I was doing. Enjoyed all of the early childhood studies degree, really. I particularly enjoyed sociology and international perspectives and children's rights. And I think it was those things that have finally led me to the job that I'm doing now. I loved the chance to meet the new people and the challenges and to discuss things that I couldn't talk about anywhere else, the issues and the debates that we had. When I finished, I'd done some voluntary work in school. I'd got a little boy who'd started in reception as I started on the course here. And when I finished, I applied for the PGCE. I was successful but realised almost immediately that teaching wasn't for me. And I think, I mean, speaking to a lot of you, teaching just seemed to be the way that this naturally points, and I kind of thought the same, really. And almost as soon as I started, I realised that wasn't what I wanted to do, and I still wasn't sure at that time. I was offered a post as a children's information officer working for Coventry City Council, and I was outposted to Shorestar, and that was almost straight away. So immediately, the degree had led me into another post. And then I was looking in the Coventry Evening Telegraph and accidentally saw an advert for children's rights worker. I had a really good lecturer here, Anne Sinclair Taylor, and she'd inspired me with that. I just never thought that that kind of work would be available here. It didn't ask for someone with an early childhood studies qualification. I think that's what's really important. It was asking for a qualified social worker or a teacher. And what I would say is if you see something and it doesn't fit with what you're doing at the moment, still go for it. I just decided I'd got nothing to lose. I was passionate about children's rights and decided that I'd apply and was fortunate enough to be offered the post. I love what I do now. I work with children on a one-to-one basis, and I work with children of all abilities. I'm based in Nuneaton and I work part-time, although I'm doing about 28 hours a week, and I'm currently project coordinator. I work with looked after children, or I work with children that are on the Child Protection Register. The role of an advocate is sometimes quite difficult to grasp, and that isn't just to explain to others, but sometimes it's difficult for children to understand, and it's difficult for us as advocates to keep remembering what our role is. I don't work in a child's best interest, and that's fundamental to what I do. A child has got a lot of people that think they know what's right for that child. They've maybe got their foster carer, their social worker, their teacher, their parents. Advocacy work is not about that. It's about making sure that the child's opinion and the child's voice is heard, and then those other professionals and those other people concerned can make the decisions. I've got a quote here from Lord Hunt, who said that advocacy is about effectively articulating the child's view, right or wrong. It is not about what the advocate thinks is best or is in the child's welfare. And that's sometimes what's really hard for me to remember and for the child to understand and for other people to understand, that I don't make decisions, I don't try and influence them. We talk, I explain the impact of their decisions, and at the end of the day, if that's what they want, that's still what we'll talk about. The children that I work with are aged from about 8 years of age up to young adult. I'm very fortunate that Bernardo's builds a lot of time into me getting to know these young people. I might pick them up from school and we'll go out and go and have something to eat together, or we'll spend time sitting playing together. Sometimes my visits are just nothing visits, they're just time together. And then when there's issues that they do need to speak to me about, or to trust me, or to phone me, then they can do. Their problems and issues are huge and varied, and each of them needs time and empathy and sensitivity, and those skills that I think that I've picked up from doing the early years degree. I've written down three typical case examples of young people I'm working with at the moment. I'm currently working with a 15-year-old boy who's due to be released from a young offenders unit. He can't be found a local placement. Nobody wants to foster him. He's burgled and he's assaulted, so nobody wants him. But he doesn't want to leave the Coventry area because his mum's here and his friends are here. So that's one that I'm advocating for, that he desperately doesn't want to be moved, but there are no foster placements here. I'm working with a 9-year-old girl who wants to live with her dad, and she was taken away from him about 6 months ago after both her and her brother were both physically and emotionally abused. She loves him and she wants to go back. She knows he'll never do it again because he's promised her, and he has his fingers crossed when he promises, so she knows she can trust him. At the end of the day, I know that that's not the right place for her to be, and if she was mine, I wouldn't want her there. But at the end of the day, that's what she asks, and that's what I'll go to Child Protection Conference and argue for her. I'm also working with an 8-year-old boy who ran away, said his mum had been hitting him, and he was found with no shoes on, nothing, found in the centre of Coventry, and he doesn't want to go back. He's been put in emergency placement, but the plan is for rehabilitation, the plan is to send him back to mum, and he doesn't want to go. So it's listening to him and taking his views forward again to Child Protection Conference or to a Looked After Child review. So I go to Looked After Child reviews, I go to Child Protection Conferences, and I go to Family Group Conferences, which happen to try and keep families together to try and work and solve issues before families break down. And I don't think any child has ever asked me for anything unreasonable, except maybe one 11-year-old who wants to keep visiting his uncle and his cousins, but they live in America and he'd like to see them regularly. It can be very emotional. It can be funny, it can be uplifting, it can be upsetting. I have a huge amount of freedom. I don't have to tell children off. I don't have to expect anything of them. They don't have to talk to me. It's just really easy and spontaneous with them. Sometimes the children can change their minds, and that's okay, and I have to let them know that that's okay. We change our minds. They don't have the same expectations of their rights as we all have, and it's getting that message across to them that it's okay that sometimes they want to see mum on a visit, and sometimes they've changed their mind and they absolutely don't want contact. And it's me then still being able to go into that room and say, well, they've changed their mind actually, and this is how they see it today. I'm not always able to get the young people what they want. Obviously some of the things they're asking for are not the way that it should go. And that's really hard. That's a very hard part of the job, because I've spent a long time building a relationship of trust, and sometimes those children are upset. Sometimes they're dissatisfied, they think that I've not done my job properly, and that's quite hard because I need to carry on and keep that relationship going. I can honestly say that all the young people I work with are a pleasure to know. None of them have, you know, of course, problems, and I've said to some of you here that I would cross the street to avoid some of these young people, and I'm ashamed to say that, but a 17-year-old that I know is a drug user, I maybe would have not wanted to have been part of his life. And that's very much flipped over. I've seen these young people from a completely different point of view. It's a pleasure to work with them, and it's a privilege to always be on their side. Thank you for listening, and good luck with your studies and your future career.